Wow, I just, as we sat through that Bible study, it just makes you think now, where do we start from here? Just all the things that God is to us, and all that we have been in our own flesh and sinful nature. It's amazing, and that we have a God that came and loved us just like we were, like Adam was. And he still loved him. He still loved Adam, even though he sinned, and gave him imparted grace even to Adam and Abel and Seth. When Seth was born and so on, it talks about then man began to, seek the Lord or pray to the Lord again or call on the name of the Lord, thank you. And so, there's much to think about, isn't there? As we look at all that. It's a blessing to look across the faces of everyone here and think about how each one of you has, I'm sure there's not too many people, if any, in this building that have not done something that benefited someone else in many different ways. This morning I want to talk about being engaged in kingdom work. And I just want it to be kind of like a breath of fresh air across the congregation about those things. And how being engaged in the work of the kingdom will cause a lot of things to fall by the wayside that we don't want in our life, by the grace of God. But I don't know where everyone is at, but I know that this message has kind of been one that's been really pressing in my life as I think back of my life and how when I was inactive in the work of the Lord, where it led me, and the need to be active and engaged in the work of the kingdom. And as I look across the faces of each one here, I am blessed at the service that many people here in this church are involved in, and encourage you to keep working in the kingdom of God. I think Brother Joseph read this morning, he said, make known his deeds among the people. Make known his deeds among the people. And that just stuck out at me, because that is the work of the kingdom, isn't it? To make known the deeds of a holy God to people everywhere where we are. Even just like that, there's very simple things that even a child does for the kingdom of God, and in their innocency. There was as I was laying awake somewhere around 5 this morning, and there was a bird that just kept singing away, and you know, the things just kind of wash over you, and of the goodness of God, and the words that he wants, they come across your heart, and you just want to be able to express all that's within your heart. But so pray for me as I just speak, that I would remember the things that God wanted me to speak, and that I don't say anything of myself that God would have his word here this morning. I had to think about kingdom work, and from a little child up to a dying man that loved the Lord. And I just, as I think of how Brother Daniel groaned within him to go to be with the Lord, as I spent the last hours of his life with him, how he groaned. And when I shared the scriptures, how he just, his face changed, and he had a glow about him that all the pain and suffering that he was experiencing, it disappeared, and he thought of Jesus. And then I was thinking of how children, even that little lad, when the disciples wondered, where are we going to feed these people after Jesus preached and taught, and there was these 5,000 people plus, and disciples were wondering, where are we going to get bread? And there was this little boy that had this 5 loaves and 2 fishes in his, we think of it as in a little basket or whatever he had it in. I lay awake and I thought about that story this morning. And then when I got up, I looked at it, the Gospels, and I wondered, for a moment, I was wondering, well, was it really that there was a little boy that had that food? But in the 3 Gospels, it just talks about that all they had was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then in the Gospel of John, it talked about this little boy, this little lad that, and there I can just picture this little lad holding his food. And I think of my hungry boys, and I'm sure many of you hungry boys and girls. Girls, I know my sister was a ravenously hungry young lady too. But there was a little lad that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and I can imagine, little did he know, and he lifted that up to one of the disciples that went around through the group to see what kind of food we have here this morning. Or this, well, not this morning, but it might have been later in the day even. And he gave it for others. He didn't just say, wait a minute, that's my lunch. Or maybe he did, but he still gave it. I don't know. But I think he had a little ministry there that we sometimes forget about, all those things. And that little maid, I think about when Naaman was the Syrian, I think it was Assyria or Assyrian army guy or the captain. There was a little maid that she knew about a God that would heal him. And so there's so many different ways that as we open up our hearts to the message of God and the Word of God, we can be a worker in the kingdom. So my message was, I guess, more largely largely to those that have been saved, but also to young people that have not called upon the name of the Lord, that they would see the life that is in coming to the kingdom of God. I was blessed also on Wednesday night when we went to the hospital. I had to leave the brothers' meeting because my little girl had cut her face. And we thought, oh, I'll just go to Fergus Hospital and it'll be an hour and we'll be out of there. But it was more like 3 or so by the time we were, 3 in the morning. The brothers' meeting was over and I had received the notes from the brothers' meeting before I got to the hospital. But my little girl taught me patience. She taught me patience in the hospital that night and morning, into the wee hours of the morning. But we didn't have any change in her pocket, and she was thirsty. And this lady that was sitting in the waiting room, little did she know that she was being a blessing. My little girl was thirsty, and I didn't have any change. And she handed us a couple toonies and loonies, and we got a drink and a little snack. But my little girl was, after that, was singing and praising the Lord. As she sang, "Send the light, the gospel light, there was nurses and people there that asked her later on if she could sing another song. Could sing another song. And so that was, it was something that carried me through the wee hours of the morning. Let's turn to Psalm 103. As we think of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is in each one of us. But in Psalm 103, just to start, it says in verse 13 of 103 of Psalm, it says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He knows that we're dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it and is gone." There's mortality in each one of us. "And the place thereof shall know it no more." And then that big word, but. It says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." Talks about the immutability of God. He cannot be shut. He cannot be quieted. The mercy of the Lord cannot be shut or cannot be stopped. It cannot stop speaking. "To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens." And then it says, "His kingdom ruleth over all." So it's with great joy that we talk about the kingdom of God this morning, as we realize that the kingdom of God ruleth over all. And his kingdom ruleth over all. "Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments." And we want to look at Revelations 20 later on, but it talks about the Lord's angels excel in strength, and how God in Revelation is going to send his angel. He's just going to send his angel, and he's going to bind up the devil. And why, you know, we when we think of that, one of God's angels can simply go on the order of him and bind up the devil. What a kingdom we have in our hands this morning. Let's really think about that. That God is a powerful God. And it says, "Hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Turning to Luke 17. Talking about that quickening spirit. And in Luke 17, 20, the Pharisees, they demanded of Jesus, they asked when the kingdom of God should come. And Jesus answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. "Neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is within you. "And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and they drank, they married wives, and were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came, and he destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot, that they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. So let's face forward. Let's face into the kingdom of God and what he wants. Let's remember Lot's wife, how she looked back at the things of this world. They were told to not look back, to depart from the things of this world, from the wickedness of Sodom. And she turned back. Whosoever shall seek his life, whosoever shall seek to save his life, and isn't this a huge part of being a worker in the kingdom of God, is whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. There is young and old, there is servants, there is kings, there is rulers that all need to be engaged in the kingdom of God. And Hezekiah was one. As we could turn to 2 Chronicles 29, and as we think of Hezekiah, he had a wicked father, Ahaz. Ahaz did which was right in the did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But Hezekiah was 25 years old when he reigned in Jerusalem. It says his mother's name was Abijah, and the daughter of Zechariah. And I imagine there's some significance in that. And somewhere along the line, Hezekiah was taught the kingdom of God. Because in the first, it says in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 29, he says that Hezekiah, first of all, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But in verse 3, in the first year of his reign and in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He was immediately active in the kingdom of God when he was on the throne. So leaders and rulers need to be proactive in saying, we need to repair the temple or the house of the Lord. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. And he said unto them, hear me, ye Levites. He says, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. And to put that in today's language, I for my heart is, as a priest in my home, am I sanctifying our home? Am I sanctifying the temple of the Lord in my own life? Are we as fathers doing that in our homes? It says, for our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. And in verse 8 it says, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. It's alluding to the time when there was 120,000 people that died because of not obeying God. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now, in verse 10 it says, now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord of God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent. Hezekiah is saying, my sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that he should minister, and that you should minister unto him and burn incense. So you might say, well, how do we practically get to the point of being ready to be a worker in the kingdom of God? And I have, I guess, 8 points here. And this starts when you're young. And I remember 10-year-old boy sitting on the bench and a man preaching the gospel Sunday after Sunday. And then I think of all the years of my life from that, 30 years almost since then. What have I done with what I heard back then? It says, the first point is, be ready to hear God's message. I took that as one of the first things that we need to do to be ready to work in the kingdom of God, is to be ready to hear his message. What is God saying? Last night we went down to Vienna and Brother Jonathan spoke, and he said, when God speaks, and he talked about three specific times when God spoke. And be ready to hear God's message. The second point, I guess we could turn to Isaiah 32 verse 1. On that first point, be ready to hear God's message. Isaiah 32, if you want to jot, I thought of sending a message or the order of this to put it on the overhead, and might have been good to do that, but I did not have the time this morning to do that. But Isaiah 32, verse 3 says, and the eyes of them that shall see, that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. Be ready to hear God's message. Be ready to tell God's message. And that is, in verse 4, it says, the heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge. Sometimes we're very rash with our mouth, but it says, the heart of us, even though sometimes we're rash, we shall understand knowledge. And even though our tongues are stammering, shall be ready to speak plainly. The third point is, be ready to conquer in the kingdom of God. The good news is that you will conquer. As you work in the kingdom of God, be ready to conquer. Joshua 8. Joshua 8 verse 4 says, and he commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be all ready. Ready to conquer. Fourth point is, be ready to help others be victorious. And this is, to me, is a one that really stands out. Be ready to help others to be victorious. God help us to know how to help our children to be victorious. How to help young people, older people along the way to be victorious. And often that comes by being ready to do what we are assigned to do, which is the fifth point. Fourth point was, be ready to help others be victorious. The fifth one is, be ready to do what we are assigned to do. And that, Luke 22 is what I have down for that. Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 8. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat? And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth it in. And I guess this can be, you can think of that man that was faithfully doing what he was doing, and he had a house ready. And I've had to think, I can't see which one it is, but, oh, it's the Buick, Gary's Buick. Anyway, this man had a room prepared, and often wondered how did he hear that he needs to have this room ready for something very amazing to happen. And also the disciples were willing to go and see a man, like of all things, a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth, and ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee. And so they were told to go and ask this man, Where's your guest chamber? The kingdom of God is amazing when you think of all that, is it not? That's just amazing. And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. And there it says, Make even more ready. And they went and found it, as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Be ready to do what we are assigned to do. Even if it looks foolish. Sometimes it looks very foolish what we're told to do, doesn't it? The foolishness of the kingdom of God to the world. The world would like people to run on the stage and shout out a song, and the place would absolutely go bananas and be yelling and hollering. And I remember that as a young man. I went to a concert, and place was a big place, packed full of people. And the first thing that happened was the man ran on the stage and shouted out the opening words of his song, and the place just went crazy. And I sat there, and I don't know what that did for me. Like, I don't know how it increased my faith in God. But what increases our faith in God is the thought just slipped my mind, what I had thought about this morning on that thought. But anyway, there's things that we do that we know as we look back that what we did was a benefit to us in the kingdom of God. Point number six is be ready to cheerfully share with others and do good. Second Corinthians 9. Be ready to cheerfully share with others and do good. Second Corinthians 9. So in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 3 says, Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. And it talks about this people here in Corinthians that were ready to cheerfully share, and they were willing to do it. That's a blessing to have a body like this. It's a blessing. I know so many people here that are ready to cheerfully share the goodness of God. Point number seven in the work of the kingdom is be ready to forgive as God forgives. Colossians 3, verse 13. Colossians 3, verse 13 says, Forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Sometimes, I've shared with my wife, it's we have to commit to forgive even before someone wrongs us. We have to simply, because, I mean, God in His foreknowledge knows that there's people are going to sin against Him. But He has, through what we heard about this morning, offered grace, and that even before man sins, that He has already committed to forgive them if they call upon His name. And we need to forgive like that. Be ready to forgive as God forgives. And when that's all said and done, I believe we're ready for eternity. It says, if we can't forgive others, God cannot forgive us. The eighth point, be ready for eternity. Even if it costs us our head, even if we have to speak up in this land that we live in, speak the truth, even if it costs our head. Why? Because in Revelations 20, when Ron was having the Bible study a while ago, or maybe it was a message, I forget, this here passage, he kind of inspired me to study a little bit in this passage of Revelations 20. And maybe we'll read from verse 1 in chapter 20 down to we'll just read in verse 1 of Revelations 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And then in verse 4 it says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. One thing that, when we think of the power of God and the kingdom of God, how God can just, like I mentioned earlier, he can just send an angel and bind up the devil and throw him in a bottomless pit. It says bottomless pit, so there he is in the bottomless pit, but then in 1,000 years from now, after he's fallen into this bottomless pit, He goes and gets him out again. And that's how great a God we have, that he can actually perform something like that when you stop and think about it. I mean, it's not a joyous thing to think about, but we sometimes allow the lies of Satan to have their way, and God is able to utterly destroy the devil, to actually bind him into a bottomless pit and bring him out again. But it causes such a great desire in us, does it not, to be engaged in his kingdom, to be working in the kingdom of God. When we think of all that, when we think of all the trouble that and I didn't even talk about those things, but it's better to talk about what God does than what for his people. It encourages us when we think of what God does for his people. And I didn't even get to some of these points that I was going to share about it. Maybe we have a few minutes to do that. Kingdom investments. There's two kingdoms. The kingdom of God. You get to be yoked with Jesus in the kingdom of God. You get to be yoked with Jesus. That's huge. We talked about loving God. Love the Lord with all your heart. That is part of the kingdom. We love God with all our heart. We fear God, we fear sin, but we don't fear anything else in the kingdom of God. We fear God, we know what who He is and what He can do, and we love Him. We fear what sin does to us, but we ought not to fear anything else. There's blessings, there's dividends, there's an inheritance, there's true riches. We don't need to covet to be someone. Like, we can simply be glad to be like who Paul was addressing in Timothy, those names of Aquila or Priscilla and Erastus and all those people that he named. They were not apostles, as it were, that wrote the Bible, but they were faithful brothers and sisters in the kingdom. True riches comes from being willing to do whatever He says. Having that readiness. The payment for the other kingdom, the wages of sin is death. When we think of bad investments, what we get from that is unrest, dissatisfaction, emptiness, misery. We get a burden of sin upon us. We get the fruit of sin. Things that can keep us from the kingdom of God. Impenitence. Ezekiel 33 talks about that. We need to be penitent for our sin. Absorption in business is part of a snare away from the kingdom of God. I was thinking of, I think it was Brother Abe that had it on his BlackBerry BVM message was, be aware of the barrenness of a busy life. And Corrie ten Boom said those words. Procrastination is another thing that it will lead us away from the kingdom of God, is procrastinating about something that the scriptures are telling us. Insensibility. To be sensitive to the spirits. In that concert I was talking about, I'm sure there was a lot of people that thought that this was an amazing thing. But my spirit did not witness with it. It was another Jesus. They were serving another Jesus. When we persist in sin, may we turn from sin. May we throw out half-heartedness in the kingdom, indifference. May we lift up prayer. May we throw away prayerlessness. And may we not neglect negligent being obedient to the kingdom of God. I'd like to close with in 2 Corinthians 15. 2 Corinthians 15 and the end of the chapter. Sorry, 1 Corinthians. My apologies. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45 to 58 is what I'd like to close with. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but after, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as the earthy, such is they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And we, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The kingdom of God is going to, or the people in the kingdom of God are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And that, doesn't that just echo what we heard in the Bible study? We talked about death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. And I just leave you with these words. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Maybe we could close with a word of prayer. Lord, as a body, we come before you. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, impress upon each one here this morning to not hold anything back, but to engage in the work of the kingdom. And lukewarmness and backsliding will fall away, because grace to grace, grace moves in when we faithfully work in the kingdom of God. And it shows us the depths of sin, and it shows us the awfulness. We understand why you said, I will spew out lukewarmness out of my mouth. Because we see the perfect work of God as we, so wash over us, each one of us, in the work, and be with each one this afternoon, with those that are hiking and the young people as they go and do that, and bless them. They would enjoy the handiwork of God, and let the kingdom of God rule in their hearts as they see people, perhaps this afternoon, that are lost in trespasses and sin, and they could show them something wonderful. Thank you for this day and for Day of Grace, and I pray that each one of us would, as we open up our heart to the words of our parents, as we open up our hearts to the words of our brothers that exhort us and that admonish us, that we would take and run with it and be glad for the kingdom of God and how it works together. So bless each one here and the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.